Hallelujah. I'd like you to turn to Matthew chapter 7, and we're going to continue on today with the Sermon on the Mount. And I just want to begin by reading the first six verses, Matthew chapter 7, verse 1 through 6. It says this, "Do not judge so that you will not be judged. For in the way that you judge, you will be judged, and by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye, and behold, the log is in your own eye'? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Do not give what is holy to dogs, and do not throw your pearls before swine, or they will trample them under their feet and then turn and tear you to pieces." The first thing I want to look at in this section of Scripture is that there's two types of judgment. Okay, and I want to spend a little bit of time explaining that, because I don't think Jesus is necessarily saying we shouldn't judge, even though it says do not judge. I think what he's saying is do not judge in terms of condemnation or accusation. That's kind of the gist of the word there, because all throughout Scripture, there are places where Jesus and the disciples and others say that we are to judge. Amen? So there's a right kind of judging, there's a wrong kind of judging. And some of that deals with motivation, some of that deals with these different things. I want to look at those for the first part of the message here. In Luke chapter 12, verse 54 through 57, is kind of one of the places that we see it. And Jesus is here addressing the multitudes again. But this is what he says in that passage of Scripture, Luke chapter 12, verse 54 through 57. He says to the multitudes, "Whenever you see a cloud rising out of the west, immediately you say, 'A shower is coming.' And so it is. And when you see the south wind blow, you say, 'There will be hot weather.' And there is. You hypocrites." Basically, what he's saying is weather forecasters are hypocrites. No, I'm kidding. That's not actually what he was saying. But he goes on here to say, "You discern the face of the sky and of the earth, but how is it that you can't discern this present time?" And that word discern there is that type of judging. How is it that you can judge the skies? How is it that you can kind of forecast the weather, and yet you can't discern what is happening in your own time? And in verse 7, he goes on to say, "Yes, and why, even of yourselves, do you not judge what is right? Do you not discern what is right?" So Jesus is saying here in this passage of Scripture, in Luke, he's talking about judging correctly, judging, discerning, being aware of the times, being aware, even in terms of your own righteousness. He's saying judge correctly and discern correctly. John chapter 7, verse 24, Jesus says, "Do not judge according to appearance, but do judge with a righteous judgment." And I think that kind of gives us a picture of those two different kinds of judgment. Don't condemn or don't judge based on outward appearance or by man-made ways of judging or criteria, but he says judge in John chapter 7, verse 24, with righteous judgment. Have the right kind of judgment. Have a judgment or a discernment that is motivated by righteousness and in a good way of judging. And so we can see Paul, actually there are several scriptures where Paul talks about judging. The disciples in several places in Acts and in Romans, a lot of different places you could possibly study that out on your own. But there's different places all throughout the New Testament where it talks about judging. And this is different than the Old Testament type of judgment and of judging. But there is a right way and a wrong way for us to judge. John chapter 4, verse 1 says we're supposed to judge the spirits. We're supposed to discern and be aware of spiritual things, right? So these are all different examples of that type of judging. I want to look at a few other scriptures, because this the condemning type of judgment, this accusation type of judgment, is a wrong way to judge. We're going to look at a few different things this morning. There's two types of judgment. There's two types of imperfections or faults, and then there's two reasons or benefits that we receive throughout this section of Scripture right here. And So I've left a little fill in the blank section on the overhead there just to, you know, because I don't want to like put the whole sermon out there because you would read it and then it would be over. So, but this is kind of the guideline that we're going to be following this morning as we look at these two different types of judgment. This first one is the condemning type of judgment, and Scripture obviously speaks about not doing that. Romans chapter 14, verse 4 says, "Who are you to judge the servant of another?" And then in verse 10, he says, "Why do you judge your brother or regard him with contempt?" That's that type of judgment that Jesus is talking about, I believe, here in his Sermon on the Mount. Why is it that you judge a servant of another, or why is it that you have contempt for your brother? And Jesus, I believe, is dealing some with, again, with the motivation of our heart. Earlier in his sermon, he was talking about the motives, right? Be aware of practicing your righteousness to be seen by men, right? A lot of what he was talking about was our motives for doing things. I believe that applies here too. Jesus is saying, hey, what is the motivation, or what is the heart or the attitude of your judging? Don't judge in a way that has contempt or condemnation or those kinds of things. Because you know, who are you to do that? And the truth is that there is a reward or a fruit, so to speak, of judging, right? We saw earlier in the sermon that there is a reward or a benefit of giving, of praying, of fasting. And where do those rewards come from? They either come from man or they come from God, right? I believe that the same is true with judging, that when we do judge, that we will be judged by other people, but we will also be judged by God. And so we look at where are those fruits coming from, and then what is the right motivation of my heart, or what is the right way to judge or discern or do things according to what the Scripture's talking about. In Romans chapter 14, verse 13, it says this, "Let us not judge one another anymore, but rather determine this, not to put a stumbling block or an obstacle or a stumbling block in a brother's way." See, again, that's dealing with the motivation of our heart, and so how it is that we're dealing with people. And all throughout this sermon, Jesus talks a lot about us personally, but then also how we interact with others, right? And I think Jesus is making this case as he talks about it here. James chapter 4, verse 11 is another scripture. Let me see if I have that. Yeah, James chapter 4, starting in verse 11, it says this, "Do not speak against one another, brothers. He who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you're not a doer of the law, but a judge of it." And Jesus goes on, I think that's kind of interesting, because he goes on here in just a little bit to talk about being judged by the law of liberty. Amen? That's kind of a neat point. We'll get to that in just a moment. But Jesus is talking about this incorrect way of judging. So don't judge in a condemning way. Don't judge in an accusation type way. Can you think of a scripture maybe in the Bible that talks about accusation, that kind of thing, in terms of the devil? Revelation chapter 12 talks about the enemy is the accuser of the brethren. See, that's kind of what he does. And I don't want to be associated with what he does, right? So I don't want to be an accuser. I don't want to be a condemner. But there is a right way then for us to judge. And what is that? Jesus, I believe, as he's talking about here, he goes on to talk about that in terms of our motivation. But for some reason, there's something in us, and I think it's because we're born with a sinful nature, right? We learn certain habits. We learn certain things. There's something in us that I believe Jesus is addressing as he's talking about these motives, is that we want to exalt ourselves. Does anybody ever wrestle with that, or is that only me that wants to be the center of my life? Maybe it's just me, because everyone's looking at me like, no. But there's something about that I think that we always kind of deal with, that there's always this these opportunities, right, for us to exalt ourselves and not have the right kind of heart or the right kind of attitude. And Jesus is saying that here, because one way to exalt yourself without exalting yourself is to put other people down, right? Because if you put people lower than yourself, just by, you know, the fact that they're now been put lower, you're automatically higher, even without bragging about yourself. Do you see what I'm saying? And so there's something in that that I believe Jesus is saying is this motivation. Don't judge others. Don't condemn others. Because in that same way that you judge, in that measure that you use, it's going to be measured back to you. And we'll look at that here in just a moment. But there's also some right ways of judging. So when we look at the two types of judgment, one is the discernment, which is what we're going to talk about now. The second one is condemnation. So there's a condemnation type of judging. There's a discernment type of judging. And Jesus is saying the condemnation part of it, don't judge that way, right? But I want to look at a few different scriptures that talk about the discerning or the right way of judging. We've talked about a few of those. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, it's talking about love. I love this description of love because it really helps us to understand what love is. Amen? But in verse 5, it says, love doesn't act rudely, doesn't seek its own, and is not provoked and thinks no evil. So if you love somebody, you're gonna judge them in a way that is motivated by love. It's not going to be selfish or provoked or thinking evil, but you can still judge and you can still do these types of things. Romans chapter 2, verse 1 through 3 says this, therefore, it's without excuse, O man, that whoever you are, who are judge, for in whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself. This is kind of the same thought that Jesus is talking about right here in this passage of Scripture, that measure of judging, right? Paul is talking about it in Romans. He says the same way you judge, then you're also, pronouncing that judgment against yourself. It's the same measure. It's the same criteria that needs to be used. For you who judge, if you practice those things, same things, we know that the judgment of God is according to truth. Amen? And listen, I believe there is a time that we are all going to pass on to the next life and that we are going to face judgment. Amen? I believe that's not just for unsaved people. I believe we're all going to stand and give an account for our life before the throne of God. The good news for Christians is that when we stand before the throne of God, Jesus has taken the judgment. So we don't receive condemnation, amen? The judgment that we receive is according to truth, and we just enter in and receive our reward. Man, that's pretty awesome, right? The mercy of God and the goodness of God. The other option is for those that haven't received Christ, that don't know Him, they are going to have to face judgment. They're going to have to give an account for their life, and the wages of sin is death. And if you don't receive Jesus as the payment for that wage, then you have to receive that judgment upon yourself. Amen. But there's good news in that, and that is that Jesus paid the price. Amen. That's great news. Actually, that's like news that's almost too good to be true, which is what the gospel, word gospel means. But we know and we believe that the judgment of God is a righteous judgment. It's according to truth. It's a fair judgment. Amen. That we look at. But when he's talking about us, it says, who do you think, man, that if you are practicing the same things that you're judging other people about, how will you escape the judgment of God? Because, see, if you're just pointing out the speck or these, you're judging, you're doing these other things in other people's lives, and yet you're doing the same thing, Jesus, or Paul, actually, I'm sorry, in this scripture is kind of talking about the same thing, that you're going to receive a judgment back on your life, no matter what, right? Just because we're born again doesn't mean we escape judgment. Does that kind of make sense? I mean, I'm so thankful for the grace of God. I'm so thankful for the mercy of God. But understand that you will stand before God and give an account for your life. And that's why I think it's important that as Jesus is kind of talking about these faults here, because I'm born again, I'm saved. In my spirit, I have the Holy Spirit in me. Amen? You have the Holy Spirit in you. You have the nature of Christ. You have the mind of Christ. But that's in my spirit, man. In my emotions and in my mind and in my body, I'm still kind of working out this salvation with fear and trembling. Amen? I think we're probably all kind of in that same way. We work that out. And so I make mistakes. I have some imperfections, right? I think we all do. And what Jesus is talking about is he says, just be aware that when you're judging, when you're looking at other people's lives, that you're going to meet up to that same measurement, that same criteria that you've placed on others or that God places. That's how you're going to be judged. James chapter 2, verse 12 through 13 says this, "So speak and so do as those who will be judged by the law of liberty." I love this scripture. He goes on to say in verse 13, "For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy, but mercy triumphs over judgment." I love the mercy of God. Amen. I love the grace of God. And the definition that I heard several years ago has just really stuck with me and helped me to understand that God's grace is you and I receiving all of the benefits and all the good stuff that we don't deserve, right? That's God's grace. Mercy is us not receiving all of the bad stuff that we do deserve. So listen, I deserve condemnation. I deserve punishment. I deserve hell. I deserve that. But the mercy of God, through what Christ did, not only do I receive grace and the forgiveness of sin, but I'm also now exempt, so to speak, from the punishment that I rightly deserve. Man, that is awesome. When you really begin to contemplate that and consider that, which I know we do that every week, don't we? It's like, man, this is just amazing. And yet it is this mercy of God. And mercy, that mercy triumphs over judgment, is what James is saying. And this law of liberty, he says, listen, live in such a way, and I believe this is kind of at the heart of the message that Jesus is sharing as well. He says, listen, do things and say things as if you will be judged by the law of liberty. In other words, if you and I truly understand the law, and that is the amazing thing about the law, I know, you know, sometimes the law gets a bad rap because it kind of can put a weight on us. But really, it's not the law that puts the weight on us, it's sin. Right? Law just helps us understand that we missed the mark. But the law in itself is good. It was the one thing that didn't just expose sin, but it gave mankind hope to realize that there is a way out of sin. And that is by fulfilling all the requirements of the law. And then you realize that you missed the mark, and then, right, then you walk in sin and shame and all those kinds of things. But if you understand the law correctly and realizing that really it's through that and it's through Christ fulfilling that and living that, being righteous and fulfilling all the requirements of the law, then that begins to put this perspective in my life that says, man, you know what? Jesus paid that price for me, but I want to rise to that challenge, so to speak. I want to live as righteously as I can. If Christ has paid the price for all my sin, all my shortcoming, if he's not only made the way for me to be free, but if he's truly set me free, then man, I want my life to represent that. I want to live holy. And if you understand that correctly and the grace of God correctly, yeah, it gives you liberty to sin if you want to, but you're just stupid if you think that way, right? Because that's not the intent of it. It sets you free from it, and it should stir something in you, and you recognize that I want to live holy. I want to live that because I receive the benefit of living that way. And if we live our lives, if we so do and so act like James speaks about, as if we're going to be judged by that law of liberty, then we're going to live righteously. It's kind of the outcome of what that understanding is. There's places in Scripture that talk about church government, so to speak, or ways that the body is to function together. Paul talks a lot about different places where how to judge others within the body, how to judge brothers, how to judge one another. But again, have the right perspective. This isn't a condemnation type of judgment. This is judging righteously, judging with a heart of love, motivated by that. Pastors, elders, all of these people, 1 Timothy chapter 5, 1 Corinthians in places talks about this, and this is the type of responsibility that may be given to a pastor or an elder in terms of the functioning of the church body. But that's not something that's to be taken lightly, right? That's not just an opportunity for me to vent all my frustrations on you because you know what, you missed the mark, and so now I'm pastor, I'm pronouncing judgment on you, and I'm just venting all of my frustrations on you. See, that's the wrong motivation. It's not something that's to be taken lightly, because when you and I pronounce those things, there is power in our words, right? I think there's where the other scripture is, it says, listen, if you call your brother a fool, if you speak condemnation or accusation, you're actually worthy of hell, right? I mean, that's not a good thing. I mean, the way we speak to others, the way we judge others, as motivated by the heart of love and the righteous standard of God, that is the right way to judge. So these two types of judgment, this discerning type of judgment, is the way we are supposed to judge. The condemnation type of judgment is the way we're not supposed to judge. But also in addition to these, as Jesus goes on here in the Sermon on the Mount, he says, let me get back to that, those verses. Matthew chapter 7, it says, he goes on to say, well then, so why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but you do not notice the log that is in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take that speck out of your eye, but behold, the log is in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. I love the undertone, really, of this message, because it's motivated by love, right? If I love you, which I do, I love you, you're my brothers, my sisters, right? If I love you, I want to pronounce judgment on myself first, so to speak, right? I want to, you know, judge accurately, get the speck out of my own eye, or actually probably get the log out of my own eye, is what this scripture is talking about, right? I want to do that so that I can see clearly to help you. I want to help you, right? But if I've got this log in my own eye and I'm trying to get the speck out of your eye, it's going to hurt us both. That's actually one of the benefits that we'll talk about a little bit later, is how it benefits us. But he says there's two types of imperfections or faults or sins. That's what this speck is talking about, right? It's not so much, I don't think, that speaking of what we would think of in terms of sins, right, of all these blatant things, because Jesus is talking to his followers. There already was somewhat of a righteous standard that they were living their lives by, right? There were probably even Pharisees listening, as we've talked about in earlier messages, that these people had an understanding of the law. They were striving to live righteously. They were following Christ. And so they had this measure or a certain level of righteousness already. Jesus, earlier in his sermon, he says, listen, your righteousness has to be more righteous than anybody that's here. And that's why he gave us his righteousness. Those are all different messages. But I think as he's talking about this speck, he's talking about like how we can find faults or imperfections. Because really, sin is just an imperfection, right? It's a missing of the mark. It's a fault. It's a blemish. Any of that can be considered sin. And so he's saying why would you look at this fault in your brother's life when you've got the second kind of fault, which is the logs? So you've got the specks and the logs, or the splinters, I guess I would say the splinters and the logs is the way that is interpreted. He says, so why are you doing that? Why would you look at it in that way? That word, the Greek word there, is karphos, which basically means a thin piece of wood or a splinter is the gist of that word. That speck or that splinter literally means like a thin piece of wood or a splinter, and it's talking about how we can look at this tiny little, it's like a chip of wood, right? If any of you have ever, used a chainsaw, you know, like how you have like kind of these big chunks of sawdust or these, you know, like if you, even if you chop something with an axe, you're splitting wood and there's like these little tiny pieces that come off, right? It's just this tiny piece of wood. He's like, why are you focusing on that when you've got the whole log in your eye, right? And so that speck, that little blemish, it's like you're, if you're selfish, if you're focusing on yourself and you're trying to maybe put others lower than yourself because you're trying to be exalted and you're pointing out this little speck, it's like if all the attention is there, then it kind of takes the attention off of the log that's in your eye, right? And I think that's why Jesus again is dealing with this, the motivation of this, or the heart of why we're doing what we're doing. And he calls them hypocrites because they're basically judging someone else for when they've got logs in their own eyes. I kind of think of it like this: that the way that word is, it's like this little chip of wood, this little piece of almost like a sawdust kind of thing that is in your brother's eye, but it's like you have a piece of plywood. Anybody know what plywood is? It's wood, but do you know how it's made? It's made out of a bunch of little pieces of wood. So plywood isn't like a, you have this 4x8 sheet of plywood. They didn't find a tree that was 8 feet tall and 4 feet wide and just cut pieces of wood out of it. They took all these tiny little pieces of wood that nobody probably would have wanted, or that was going to get thrown away or just burned or left, and they press it together and they put all these tiny little pieces of wood together and it makes it like a sheet of wood, right? And you can cut it, it's a big piece of wood. That's kind of the difference in my understanding of the splinter and the log. So it's like the log isn't just like one huge sin. It's almost like it's all these tiny little things that you just ignore in your own life, and you're pointing out one little piece of sawdust in your brother's eye, and you've got all these little pieces of sawdust that have been compacted into the sheet of plywood in your eye. And that's why Jesus is saying, listen, why would you do that? Let's deal first with all this, these compounded little pieces in your life. And again, this isn't something that's being said in condemnation. I believe Jesus, his heart was motivated by love. Amen. And if you hear that correctly, if you judge correctly, you'll be able to hear and receive that judgment for yourself. See, one of the biggest, well, not one of the biggest, but a big thing in terms of us dealing and living righteously in our own lives is pride. If you just have pride and you refuse to even look at your own life, or and you're not willing to just humble yourself and receive a good judgment, right? I mean, that's the benefit of us being able to judge one another in love. It'll benefit us, right? It'll help us. It'll help one another. But if we're prideful and we refuse to even look at our own lives or to be able to receive that judgment, then it's not going to benefit us. And so Jesus is speaking, I believe, with a heart of love here, because there's a care for your brother, a concern for the other person as well. And so judge correctly yourself, and then you can truly help your brother. I'm reminded of the passage of Scripture in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16, which says this: from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body, edifying itself in love. And I love that Scripture, because what that's talking about, as Paul is writing to the Ephesians here, he's saying, look, God has this perfect way of fitting the body together. He wants everything to fit correctly and function correctly so that the body will edify itself in love. And if you've ever gotten like a little splinter like in your finger, like a tiny little thorn. I mean, sometimes, I'm sure you've all experienced this, you can get like a little thistle thing in your finger, and it's like you can't even see it, but it hurts, and you can feel it. And if you get like a splinter in there, it's like, what happens if you don't take the splinter out? What begins to happen? Begins to get infected, right? Because your body wants to heal itself. It wants to get that splinter out. And that's the beauty of what he's talking about, that when the body is fit together well, when every joint is supplying, the body edifies itself in love, right? And so the judgment that we're speaking, because if we are able to speak the truth in love, like the scripture talks about, right? If you speak the truth to me in love, I can receive it a lot better than if you're speaking the truth to me in judgment, right? And I think that's what Jesus is talking about. These two different types of judgment, I think, has a whole different motivation and has a whole different result in our lives. And so these specks, these imperfections, these things that build up, will lead to like infection and things that aren't good if they're not dealt with. And so Jesus encourages us, first of all, deal with it in your own life, right? I would much rather confess my sin to God and have him deal with me in grace and mercy than for sin to be exposed, right, in my life because I've been trying to hide it. Does that kind of make sense? I mean, either way, hopefully it's going to result to your benefit that you'll be able to repent, right, and get right with God and receive healing. But I would much rather deal with my own stuff first. And I'm not hiding anything, by the way. I'm just saying that's a really good feeling to say, you know what, you can examine my life. You can ask any of my coworkers. You can ask anybody in my family. I'm not saying I'm perfect, but I'm not hiding anything, right? And man, that's such a liberating and wonderful way to live, because the thing too about my past, you know, if I guess if I ever decided to run for office, or if some reason, you know, we had like 20,000 people on our church and all of a sudden everybody's looking at you to find some fault in your life, right? Sadly, that's when people begin to have influence, you know, there's a lot of people trying to drag everybody down. Let's not encourage people and help them. Let's find everything that's wrong with them and try to destroy them. That's kind of that accusation. That's kind of that judgment type of thing that Jesus is talking about. I see that rampant in our world today. But going back to what I was saying, that if for some reason that was to happen, listen, there's nothing in my past that anybody can bring up that's at least several of you don't already know. Right? I mean, it's out there. I'm not hiding anything. My wife knows everything about my life. Some of you pretty much know everything about my life. Right? So if something comes up and says, oh, well, back in 1979, or back in, you know, whenever it was, you're like, oh my gosh, you're really that old? No, but there's nothing that could be brought up, all right, that hasn't already been dealt with. And I think part of what Jesus is saying here is he's saying, look, let's deal with that stuff in your own life. Deal with it first. Don't hide it. Deal with it, right? Get it out, because once that happens, then you're able to see clearly to really help somebody else. And because of the fact, because of those experiences, because of those things in my life, because of the healing that I've received in my own life, I believe that helps me more to be able to speak into your life and to help you in your life, right? Because I'm not giving you advice that I haven't followed myself, right? Or I'm not saying something that only applies to you but doesn't apply to me. Does that kind of make sense? Do you understand what I'm saying? And so deal with that first. And that's what Jesus is saying is, listen, deal with these the stuff in your own eye first, and then you can really help your brother, help those that you're trying to help. And so this last part, as we bring the message to a close today, Jesus, one of the things that I think is important for us to realize is that Jesus is talking to his followers. He's not speaking to those people that don't know him. He's not talking to the world as a whole. He's talking to those who are his followers. And he says this in verse 6, "Do not give what is holy to the dogs. Do not throw your pearls before swine, or they will trample them under their feet, and then they will turn and tear you to pieces." I think it's important for us to understand that not everyone is going to receive correction, right? I think that's part of what Jesus is saying here. Even within the body of Christ, you might, with all good motivation and with all purity of heart and with a righteous manner and motivated by love, that you're trying to, you know, you've discerned something and you're trying to help somebody with what's in their eye, but not everybody's going to receive instruction. Even if your motivation's right, do you understand what I'm saying? Even if you're right with God and you're speaking the truth and you're speaking it in love, not everybody's going to receive judgment, not everybody's going to receive instruction, which is kind of what is at the heart of this. A few different scriptures that I want to look at from Proverbs. I love Proverbs because it's all these little, one or two verse, just really powerful, jam-packed sayings, right? Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7 says this, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." So that's saying a lot right there. But it helps us to understand, listen, not everybody is going to receive instruction. And I think as a pastor, I think in some ways, I had to come to this realization years and years ago when my wife and I were working as youth pastors, right? We're giving them all, these kids, all this great advice, right? And we're, I mean, you can almost see the potential of their lives, and you're saying, oh yeah, all you got to do is this, or all you got to not do is that. And yet they wouldn't follow your advice. And some of them, you know, wind up in jail or whatever, and you're like, you know, in some ways it's almost like you're thinking, what is wrong with you? Why did I told you, right? And in some ways, it's dealing with the motivation of my own heart to begin to realize that, you know what, you can't make decisions for anybody else. That's kind of a hard truth to realize sometimes, because when you love somebody and you want to help them, you know, you may be speaking all this great advice, but it's like, you know, their life is up to them to live, and there's only so much you can do. And understanding that, you know what, it doesn't mean that it wasn't good advice. It doesn't mean that we didn't truly love them. It's just that they didn't receive the instruction. And that's kind of what Jesus is talking about when he's talking about don't cast your pearls before swine. Not everybody is going to receive that. So kind of be discerning in some of that too, right? Proverbs chapter 15, verse 5, and then also in verse 32 of Proverbs 15, it says, "A fool despises his father's instruction, but he who receives correction is prudent. He who disdains instruction despises his own soul, but he who heeds rebuke gets understanding." Amen? I think that's part of what Jesus is talking about, is how we begin to pattern our lives and being able to receive instruction and to give instruction and these kinds of things. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 7 and 8 says, "He who corrects a scoffer gets shame upon himself, and he who rebukes a wicked man only harms himself. Do not correct a scoffer unless he hates you, or lest he hates you. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love you." Right? Why is it that a wise man would love you if you rebuke him? Because he's wise. He wants to receive that instruction. He wants to receive that judgment or that, you know, that help, right? And that's what the Word of God is intended to do. And that's what Jesus is talking about in dealing with one another in our lives. And so what are these benefits? The two reasons or two benefits of judging correctly and having these right motives and having discernment instead of condemnation and recognizing and dealing with the splinter in your eye and then helping your brother deal with the log in your own eye, first of all, it benefits you. It will benefit you, right? Because it's, listen, it says if you're judging scoffers, or if you're trying to do this, they're just going to hate you. It's actually going to harm you. So even if your advice is great, but whoever you're trying to give it to just isn't receiving it, and they're scoffing you and mocking you, stop giving them the great advice. Right? I mean, it may be great, but it's not benefiting you. I believe that that's what it's supposed to do. It's supposed to benefit you. And then, of course, the other one is it benefits others, right? Yo, it benefits you, it benefits others. That's the motivation. Those are the reasons why we do it. And so my understanding of these verses in dealing with people is first and foremost, this is meant for the followers of Christ, right? Jesus is talking to his disciples. And I believe he's talking to us in how we're supposed to treat one another and interact with one another and judge one another correctly. The other part of that, though, is that there's nothing in this judging, even if we're judging correctly, that has to do with people that don't know Christ. Our place is not to judge others outside of the body of Christ. Does that kind of make sense? I think we're supposed to judge correctly one another and love one another and deal with these things in our lives and help each other deal with things in their lives. But we're not to pronounce judgment on those that don't know Christ. I mean, think about it from this perspective. Nobody here was born saved, so you can probably have some understanding of what your life was like before you knew Christ. Right? You were condemned already. And you don't need someone that knows Christ coming to you and telling you that you're condemned, or that you're stupid, or that you have sin in your life, right? Or that you're going to hell. I mean, in some ways, you already know that. And if someone who knows the truth comes and begins to judge me, it's not going to help me as an unbeliever. You know what I need you to do as a believer, as a follower of Christ? I need you to come and love me. I don't need you to judge me, right? I need you to love me. And I think in that, we begin to have this kind of perspective that it's through that love, it's through that motivation, it's through the heart of the gospel, that's what's going to turn someone to repentance, right? Scripture tells us it's the kindness of God that leads us to repentance. And so this judgment, although we are meant to judge, that judgment is just for each other. Does that kind of make sense? That we're not meant to judge those that don't know Christ. We're just supposed to love them. And that kind of began to put things in perspective, because I think that's part of what Jesus even is talking about when he says, listen, don't cast what is holy before the dogs or before the swine. They'll just turn and tear you to pieces. Because Even though it's a correct judgment or a right assessment, they don't need to have this holy judgment or this placed on their lives. They just need to receive the love. Does that kind of make sense? And then that doesn't mean, hey, let's get them into the body of Christ and then let's start judging them, right? It's kind of having this correct motivation, this correct understanding that judgment isn't something that we're pronouncing like a judge saying guilty, right? It's not that type of judgment. That's the condemnation type of judgment. That's the accusation. Jesus says, don't judge that way, right? That's not up to you. Let your judgment be righteously, and in a way that's going to help your brother. Amen. And so hopefully that challenges you and encourages you this morning. Let's take a moment and just pray together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for your word, Lord. Psalm 119, verse 105 says, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And so we thank you for your word this morning, Lord. We receive it. We receive your word implanted, Lord. We receive it in faith. We receive it, Lord, and allow you to teach us and instruct us. And Lord, our prayer today is that your word would take root in our hearts, in our spirit, and like a seed, Lord. It will be firmly planted, and it will bear fruit in our lives. Your word demonstrating itself out in our lives. And so we just thank you for that, Lord, today. In the name of Jesus, amen.